to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, it's time for the second hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm James Edwards. It's Saturday, January the 23rd, year of our Lord, 2010, and we're coming to you live, as always, from AM 1380 WLRM Studios in Memphis, Tennessee, and going out to the AM-FM affiliate stations across the country of the Liberty News Radio Network. Our official website is thepoliticalcesspool.org. And joining me now in studio, Winston Smith. Winston, how's it going?
Oh, it's going just great. Big news week, James. Lots of things happening, lots of things to think about and talk about. And what is it now? Maybe 337 shopping days till Christmas? I can't get the words out.
Well, you can't. Now's as good a day as any to start looking forward to Christmas. It's a great time.
You know, James, I have a standing joke. I tell people every July 4th. I say, you know what 4th of July means to most Americans, and they say, well, it's the Declaration of Independence. And I say, no, it's the beginning of the shopping season, Christmas shopping season.
Well, that's actually true for my wife, Winston, so I can't laugh at something that's true. Also a somber occasion. Most people wouldn't know that the Confederates were retreating from Gettysburg on that day in 1863, I believe. So a lot of there's some history there, good, bad, and indifferent. And anyway, I'm so glad we have this co-host rotation that we've got. I mean, we've got the best. How about Keith Alexander? Did you catch the first hour tonight, Winston?
I did not, James, much to my chagrin. I tell you, I never tire of listening. I will listen to that segment because you just can't go wrong listening to the political cesspool's intellectual great white shark, Keith Alexander, Esquire.
Well, I thought it was particularly crisp tonight, razor sharp. Yeah, Keith was on his game. And, you know, we had a big show lined up. And we had to scrap it, but we got an equally big show lined up in its place. You know, we had Eddie the Bombardier coming in during tonight's third hour with Jack McLam. Jared Taylor was going to be on this hour. Had to shuffle that up a little bit and reschedule those two interviews. And then we got you in because Eddie was sick, and we got Reverend Ted Pike now. So, listen, you just can't keep us from having a great show. No matter what happens, no matter what comes up, we're gonna overcome it, and it's still going to be great.
The worst political cesspool show is better than the best of any of the rest.
Well, and that's true. And if you're like Winston and you missed the first hour tonight, you've got the archive. So you can listen to the great shows all the times you want. Winston, you're not going to believe this. I got to share this story with you before we get down to work this second hour. Got an email in from a gentleman, and of course I'm not going to share his name over the air, but he has just been a blessing beyond measure to this radio program. He is a very generous supporter of this show, and I've come to know him over the course of the past year, and I've had some great conversations and email exchanges with him. And he lives in Arkansas, and he knows who he is.
I thought your dad.
No, it's not. Yeah, my dad is right up there too. But no, it's not my dad. But this guy knows who he is, and he knows what a blessing he's been to the program. Well, I got an email. You know, those archives are there for a reason, and it's a veritable treasure trove. You got great guests, great shows there, and just because they're old don't mean they're not just as good as the day that we presented them to you live. This gentleman who I'm referring to shared with me via email this week that he was he always talks about going through the archives and listening to shows, and I know a lot of our fans do that, but he found a particular show that I vividly remember. He said he had just this week listened to the Political Cesspool broadcast of July 18th, 2008. And that was the day, you know, people talk about the day the music died. That was the day the air conditioner died at WLRM Radio.
Yeah, that's definitely one for the archives.
He made mention.
Point listeners to and say, This is how your intrepid political cesspool hosts get the job done despite the greatest adversity.
Well, and to say that was great adversity is not an understatement. July's in Memphis. You just don't understand it, ladies and gentlemen. July's in the South are oppressive. It's not just the heat, which was over 100 degrees that day, not just the humidity, which was at 100% that day. It's the fact that, how would you describe WLRM Studios, Winston? Kind of like an oven. I mean, it's a metal building. It's metal. So you can imagine with no heat and no air circulation, with 100 degree Fahrenheit temperatures and saturation humidity, how hot it would get inside of a tin box.
Oh, the snakes wouldn't even come in that day.
Well, you were there with me that day, right? You were
I
on
certainly
the,
was.
Yeah, it was you. I thought it was. No, we did the show. I think Jerome Corsi was the guest that day. He was on just in advance of his big Abomination book. But I think it was Corsi. I'm not sure. But I don't forget the heat. And I remember I was sitting there shirtless in shorts and just dripping wet with sweat. I'm surprised that some of the equipment didn't short out. I mean, it was hot and humid, and you couldn't breathe. The air was so thick and so filled with humidity, so hot, we had to go outside during the commercial breaks to breathe. It was hard to breathe in there.
I thought
that
I came down with prickly heat rash.
What were you doing over there? I had a hard enough time staying conscious. I can't remember exactly how you handled it, but you were over in the satellite booth right through the window there. And
which
I was
even more, which is even more enclosed.
I was over in the main studio. I remember it was bad, but you know that was about a year and a half ago now. What do you remember about that day?
I remember praying for water. I needed water so bad. When we left the studio that day, I stopped off at the nearest store and I bought a gallon jug of distilled water and I slammed that thing, James. That was. Right up, that was more memorable than my interview with The Exorcist.
Another one that could be.
Oh my gosh, that was so hot. You know, I likened it. If you ever remember the old series Kung Fu, well, there was a pilot movie for that first, and at one point, Kwai Chang Kang, played by David Carradine, and another old codger, they get in some trouble, and as punishment, they are thrown into this. Into this tin box out in the middle of the California desert or something as punishment. And of course, Kwai Chang Kang with all of his zen, you know, he has no problem at all, but the white guy in there, well, they're both white guys, but the American guy in there, he's dying. And that's what I felt like that day. It was like a plague of Egypt. It was so terrible.
Well, that is available to you in the archives. That's why we want you to go to the archives. You never know. There are so many memorable shows we've had over the years. But when the gentleman that I'm talking about in Arkansas told me he listened to that, just memories just rushed back in. I was overwhelmed. It all came back to me. Oh, my God. But that's one you should listen to. And while you're at the website, going through the archives, listening to the shows from years past or even the most recent broadcast, don't forget that this show is listener-supported. Your financial contributions are both much needed and much appreciated, and you can donate online at thepoliticalcesspool.org as well. But anyway, Winston, I'm glad you're here tonight. You missed the tour. Just one more thing.
Oh, yeah.
You missed the tour with Keith on Thursday.
Well, like we say, James, when you're with Keith Alexander, you can count on a couple of things. You're going to eat. You're going to get a lot of stuff to read, and you're going to take the most how shall we say, the most bizarre
unique
tour of Memphis you can imagine. Keith Alexander, you know, people say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. What happens in Memphis, Keith Alexander knows about. He knows where all the bodies are buried. There's nothing about that town he doesn't know.
Well, you know, and I've lived here my whole life, as you know, Winston, and every time I get in a car with Keith, I find out something I didn't know before. Like, I didn't know that the Hunt Phelan home, which is a very famous antebellum home here in Memphis, I didn't know that Jefferson Davis had spent time there. I knew Ulysses Grant had commandeered it as a headquarters when the Union occupied Memphis, but I didn't know President Davis had spent time there. I learned that on Thursday. So anyway, I guess bottom line, it would have been a little more fun if you had been there But you missed out, and I just wanted you to know that before we get down to work here. But we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with some hot topics, very hot topics tonight in the political cesspool. And, of course, in tonight's third hour, we got Reverend Ted Pike, the one and only Ted Pike of truthtellers.org. When we come back, we're going to talk about – I'm not going to tell you. You're going to have to find out. We'll be back right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool Guys will be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand me, baby.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Just hearing that song prompts me to remind everyone that Jersey Boys begins its run at the Orpheum Theater later this week. And Winston, you know I've got my tickets.
Yeah, one thing I'd like to ask you about that song, though, that's about the stuff you put in your hair, isn't it?
Well, you know, I've never really figured that out. It's the stuff you put in your hair. It's the stuff that comes on your face when you're really hot and sweaty. It's also the name of a movie. I can't say I've ever really understood the song, but it's catchy, and it's by Frankie Valli. So what are you going to do?
I always thought it was about, you know, the pomade you put in your hair, and I always wondered, why do you like that song so much?
Art Frith would be proud of you for that zinger, Winston.
Yeah,
I got an email from Chief Frith, our legendary producer, yesterday. So Art's still punching it out even in retirement.
Yeah. Did he have nice things to say to you?
Well, nah, does he ever?
No, that's. I was just curious if he'd...
Gentle-natured ribbing is always from the Chief. Mm. But, no, actually, this time he was just sending me a link to an article. So thanks, Chief, for the tip. Folks, you're going to be... I can't say you're going to be shocked and amazed, but you're going to enjoy... Not enjoy, even. You're going to... Well, just wait. I got a story here. You're going to experience a range of emotions, which is why I'm struggling to find the appropriate adjective. There's an event coming up in Memphis a little later this year that's going to make you vomit. That's what it's going to do. It's going to make you vomit. And I'm going to get to that right after I tell you that John McCain's wife, just this week, and we put a blog on it at thepoliticalcesspool.org, our blog, our website, the blog that's on our website, come on. John McCain's wife has endorsed gay marriage. Cindy McCain contacted a pro-gay marriage group and volunteered to appear in an ad for them because she believes that opposition to so-called gay marriage is hate. So it'd be bad enough if they contacted her and she agreed to do it, but she went out of her way to contact them and offer her services. In the ad, she has duct tape across her mouth, Winston, with "no hate" written on her cheek, referring to Proposition 8, which repealed sodomite, quote-unquote, marriage in California. McCain's daughter is also speaking out in favor of homosexual marriage and condemning those who oppose it, normal people. And let's not forget that John McCain had to be talked into picking neocon Sarah Palin as his running mate by his advisors. He had his heart set on Joe Lieberman, the radical left-winger who was Al Gore's running mate in 2000. You know, because McCain is so conservative and all. He certainly seems to have made instilling traditional moral values a big priority in his own home. And guess who just announced, Winston, to top it off, that she'll be campaigning for John McCain in his Senate reelection bid? Well, it's Mrs. Tea Party herself, Sarah Palin. So the question is, Winston, first of all, what do you make of McCain's wife endorsing this sham that is gay marriage? And when will conservative voters wake up and realize that these neocon frauds like Palin and Glenn Beck are just milking them for all they're worth?
When I saw that picture of Cindy McCain with the duct tape over her mouth and the N-O-H-8 written on it, I thought, well, you know, if she's for queer marriage, then that's appropriate because queer marriage is an attack on, well, it's basically an attack on Christianity. It is essentially an attack on Christianity. And these people who are speaking out for queer marriage, they are the most hateful people you will ever want to meet. So to duct tape someone's mouth who is spewing out a bunch of garbage about queer marriage, I think that's appropriate. But alas, that's not what she was trying to do. She was the ad was very badly conceived because of what I just said. But I don't want to say this about Cindy McCain, but we all know that she has had a problem with prescription painkillers, prescription medicines, and I think it just may have wrecked her brain in the process, because nobody in their right mind would ever support such a heinous idea. And James, the thing about queer marriage is it is cultural Marxism in the extreme. It is the epitome of cultural Marxism. Cultural Marxism is an attempt, folks, to force associations. Marxists want you to be in their camp. And if they can't get you in their camp, they will try to get in your camp. That's something Reverend Pike's going to talk about tonight. But these people, they don't want to marry out of love. They want to marry for a political statement. There's no love in politics, of course, but they want to marry simply so that they can ride the coattails, so they can have the prestige of legitimate marriage. That's been a Marxist tactic since its inception. They will try to infect institutions like colleges, universities, and even social institutions like marriage, just so that they can partake of the prestige of the fact without really being related to the fact.
Well, I mean, you're right about all that, Winston, of course, and it goes without saying, but I mean, you can't expect anything more out of the McCains than trash and anti-American actions such as that. But again, the good people, and there are good people, there are true, legitimate, America First, paleo-conservatives who perhaps, because of actions as grotesque as this, support McCain, or do not support McCain, or begrudgingly supported McCain. It's kind of hard to package McCain as the real McCoy, but they love Palin. And what's Palin doing? Well, she's going out and supporting McCain. So, I mean, again, when, Winston, are the good people who vote Republican going to wake up and invest their votes and their political activism in something that's actually going to bear fruit for them sometime?
I'll tell you exactly when they're going to wake up, James, when it's too late.
Short and sweet answer, but you're probably right. I mean,
of
course,
that is the history of our people.
Well,
they wake up when it's too late.
This show's doing everything we can to do the modern Paul Revere ride, but unfortunately, as many people as we reach, and we reach a lot, you know, we're not reaching the audience that the Hannity and Limbaugh are reaching, and we should be. But the fact remains that the future is very much uncertain when you've got characters like this who are commanding the support of people who would fundamentally agree with us, Winston, and would be natural listeners of this radio program. But they think that there's nothing better out there. So they're stuck on the proverbial treadmill or the rat wheel.
That's a good word for it. Anybody who supports gay marriage, especially if they're calling themselves Christians, they are on a rat wheel because they are rats. I don't recognize them. They don't know their scriptures. They don't know their history. They are willfully ignorant, and they enjoy the bliss of willful ignorance, and they want everybody else to partake of that bliss. Well, we're not going to partake of it. We're going to fight this. This is hideous. This is insane. For people who call themselves Christians and people who call themselves constitutional conservatives to think that there's any relationship, any likeness at all between true Christian marriage and queer marriage.
Well, they
are totally incompatible.
Winston, we've got 30 seconds left before we go to the break, and then we're really going to blow the top off of this thing in the next segment. Short one- or two-word answer. Should this action and this action alone discredit Sarah Palin as a legitimate choice for conservatives, her support of her continued support of McCain?
Well, if her joining Fox News did didn't destroy her enough, this will do it, or it should do it. But again, most white conservatives, they will not, they'll be oblivious to it, and they'll say, oh, all right, good, good.
Well, that's why this show exists. There is a voice out there, a true voice for the American right, and you're listening to it right here, right now, and our name is The Political Cesspool. We'll be back with more right after this.
If you knew Peggy Sue, then
don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Peggy Sue. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
It seems like we're talking a lot about Memphis tonight, talking about Keith's tour and some of the things going on here. Well, this thing right here, though, is going to occur in Memphis, but it's also pretty indicative of the way the Republican Party is going nationwide. Let me just read the headline here that the local GOP is just ecstatic about. Well, not the actual people who vote for the Republican Party, but the three or four people who claim to be the leaders of the Republican Party in Memphis. Oh, they're falling all over themselves. Michael Steele is going to keynote the 2010 Lincoln Day Gala. Now, there's a story right there in the headline alone. First of all, you've got Michael Steele, this liberal black man who pretends to be a Republican, and to be sure he is their chairman, he's coming into Memphis to support, or excuse me, and he's coming into Memphis to speak at this dinner, which is the Shelby County Republican Party, that's the county in which Memphis resides, the Shelby County Republican Party's biggest fundraiser of the year. This is sort of like their Oscars. This is the one big event that they promote each and every year. This is their biggest event of the year. Now, what self-respecting Southerner would name their Oscar-like event after that tyrant and terrorist, Abraham Lincoln, who was president when Sherman literally conducted an actual Holocaust on the people of the South? So just let all that marinate and sink in. Michael Steele's coming down to speak at the biggest Republican function in Shelby County, Memphis, Tennessee, later this year, the Lincoln Day Gala. Our local GOP actually invited this guy to speak at their big celebration of the worst president in American history up until George Bush. They not only invited him, mind you, they're advertising it as if they're proud to be associated with Steele, this money-hungry clown. And that's like a prisoner cheering for the man who's about to load him up with a lethal injection. Now, let's recap the Michael Steele file here, if we can. And we've talked about him irregularly on this show since his victory as the party chairman. Michael Steele says he wants to give the National Republican Party a hip-hop makeover to attract more non-whites. He went on national television and agreed with a black host that was interviewing him that the Republican Party convention looked like a Nazi rally in Hitler's Germany. After that, the Republican Party chairman, Michael Steele, declared that many Republicans are scared of him because he's black. Lately, more Republicans on the national level are demanding that he shut his mouth, and they're using words like fool to describe him. And even as I share this news with you tonight, panicky Republican big shots are demanding that he drop his promotional tour for his new book, which he's personally profiting from, by the way. You might remember that when Haley Barbour was the Republican National Committee chairman in the 1990s, he also wrote a book but gave all of his proceeds to the party. All of this, though, is on top of the outcry that was raised recently when it was discovered that Michael Steele is charging between $10,000 and $20,000 to make a speech. That's unheard of for a party chairman. His job, which he is well paid, is to sell the party, not profit from it, and he should speak for free at every major function that will have him. That's what the Democrats and the Republican chairman have always done. But keep in mind and remember that they were not token minorities who sought their jobs only to get rich off of Whitey. That's all Michael Steele is. The only reason he has the job is because he's black, and the only reason he wanted it was to get rich. And I wonder how much, Winston, the Shelby County GOP is paying for Steele's appearance. No matter how much it is, even if he were coming for free and at his own expense, they'd still be getting ripped off. But I just can't say enough about this contest the Republicans seem to be engaged in which they try to outpander the Democrats for black votes that their party will never receive. That's all. That's basically all the Republicans are now. But anyway, here in Memphis, they're getting this guy. He's coming in. He's going to embarrass them. Nobody's going to show up. And still, they'll actively seek to recruit black Memphians to vote Republican. And Winston, you know that's never going to happen. But what's your thoughts on all this?
James, you had a few things that I'd like to address. You said that they invited him there specifically to pander to Memphis's black population. And by the way, folks, the black to white ratio in Memphis is a little over 2 to 1. That means, two black people, there's one white person. In other words, white people do not have anything like a majority. They're not even close to the majority in Memphis. They never will be again, unless I won't say that. but they are bringing black Michael Steele in order to try to get some street cred with the brothers and the sisters there in Memphis.
Well, how many brothers and sisters are going to be at his speech that night? How many are going to pay hundreds of dollars to attend this Lincoln Day fundraiser?
None of them will show up. This is a fool's errand. This is stupid. You asked earlier, James, what kind of self-respecting Southerner would participate in something like this? Well, you hit it right there. They are not self-respecting Southerners. They don't respect themselves. They're cowards. That's why the GOP elevated this man to their leadership, because they're cowards. They don't want to be what they are. They want to try to appear to be what they're not. I think one man said something like, "I would rather be hated for what I am than to be loved for what I am not." That's something that the Republicans should take into consideration. Michael Steele is coming to Memphis, A, for the money, and B, so that Republicans can pander to the 2-to-1 black-to-white advantage in Memphis. It will fail miserably.
Well, they'll do nothing except drive more white voters away from the party. But, again, and I hate to harp on this, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, but you're going to have a room full of white Republicans paying, and it costs big money to get into the Lincoln Day Gala, hundreds of dollars to hear this clown speak at an event that honors Lincoln. That is just a trifecta of...
Well, it's a perfect storm of cowardice.
Yeah. I had more to say about that. I don't guess there really is anything more we could say about that, other than the Republican Party is so far off bearings that they've lost their compass. They're lost in the woods. And they appear as though they become more and more, it becomes more and more apparent that they are irredeemably lost. But I do want to, you know, Winston, I know I shared with you, and I'm happy to share with my listeners tonight, that there may be an alternative out there that has an opportunity to do something, make some strides, have an impact at the ballot box, and it's a new political party called the American Third Position. Winston, have you got a chance to check out their website yet?
Yes, I have. It's exciting. I'm very anticipatory about it, I'll say. A lot of good ideas, very courageous stands. It's about time. I think that the Tea Party movement is going to fail, and Reverend Ted Pike will explain a little bit about that later this evening. But, yeah, I'm excited about the America Third Party. It looks very good. I'm keeping an eye on it. I look forward to supporting it on the show if it goes like it appears it's going.
Well, and certainly you'll hear us talk more about the American Third Position Party as this year continues to progress. But if you want to take a quick look at it tonight, I encourage you to do so. You will have an opportunity by visiting their website to read their, essentially the party's platform. It's under the program section. But the website is American3P.com, American Third Position, American, the numeral 3, the letter P, .com, American3P.com. If you're looking for, and there are some great organizations out there that we support. The Council of Conservative Citizens is one. I encourage you to take a look at them, and there are others. But if you're looking for a political party, I mean, some people want to be involved in an actual party, not just a conservative issue advocacy organization. Go to American3P.com and just, see what they got to say. I think you'll like it. But, Winston, just to close the book on Michael Steele.
I wish.
Well, we got to take a break, so we're going to have to go ahead and just close it. More to come on the cesspool right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool Guys will be back right after these messages.
We got to get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we got to get out of this place. Girl, there's a better.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. If the Michael Steele story there wasn't enough to nauseate you, the story out of Chicago will absolutely scare you. You know, Winston, people who tune into this program, they hear us talk about some very important subject matter. And we see facts. We notice certain social trends. And we feel compelled to talk about them. And it's not always politically correct. But people are wrong if they believe that we oppose minorities in certain instances just because they are minorities. You know, I am all for best man for the job getting the job. It goes without saying. But there are a lot of things going on out there that have a racial animus attached to them, and no one's talking about it but us. Somebody has to talk about stuff, particularly when the public is being put in harm's way. And that is absolutely the case in Chicago. No one has the cojones to talk about this kind of stuff. Listen to what's going on in Chicago. Why is no one other than the political cesspool talking about this? On average, and you know, it pains me to admit this, but let's be honest. A lot of minorities, we talked about this, I believe it was the first show of this year, Winston, a couple of weeks ago. You know, they're scrapping science tests. They are cutting science out of schools, high schools, in Berkeley, California, because the minority kids there, well, I don't guess they're the minority in Berkeley, the non-white kids there, can't pass science. So therefore, the science test must be racist, and since science is now racist, we got to throw it out because they can't pass it like the white kids there can. Well, the same thing is going on now in Chicago. So again, I say on average, these minorities, for whatever reason, don't seem to be capable to pass the civil service tests to become police officers in Chicago at the same rate as white people. But we can't admit that. So the only answer is to get rid of the tests, because the tests are racist. And since tests are racist, we got to get rid of them. So now we can start hiring stupid, unqualified police officers instead. Well, that's the plan in Chicago. It's come to our attention, and we blogged about this I believe we blogged about it a little earlier in January, but you can find it there at thepoliticalcesspool.org. That's the plan in Chicago, and it's only a matter of time until it goes nationwide. The Chicago Police Department is seriously considering scrapping the police entrance exam. Dropping the exam would bolster minority hiring and avert legal battles, Winston, according to one source, while others confirm that the exam could be scrapped to open the process to as many people as possible. However, the lack of an exam, the story says, would make Chicago the lone major city without one, and experts contend that the exam is integral to eliminating unqualified applicants. Well, imagine that. The CPD has tried in recent years to boost minority hiring by offering the police exam online and turning to minority clergy to help in the recruitment effort. But now it appears as though they are prepared to completely get rid of the police entrance exam in Chicago so they can hire more black cops. Well, Winston, you know that our radio program here in Memphis has a lot of local support from the Memphis Police Department, and we have a lot of friends that are police officers who are supportive of this show. I wonder what they would say. What would you say about this story?
I would say, hey, that's where Obama was a community organizer, isn't it?
Yes, it is. That's the night Chicago died.
Yeah. I would also say Chicago is where Obama was a community organizer, and that's where that poor black kid was beat to death with a board not long ago, isn't it?
That's right.
Hey, that's Chicago. That's the land of Obama. And Obama is being just as successful as a president as he was as a community organizer. Is Chicago one bit better because of Obama's so-called work? Hell no. Is America one bit better because of anything he's done? Hell no. This is Chicago. This is the way it goes in Chicago. Chicago is probably not quite as bad as Memphis as far as crime goes. I mean, every year Chicago, Detroit, and St. Louis battle it out for the number one spot on the FBI's most violent city list. But, James, that's just Chicago. Nothing should surprise you coming out of there.
Well, I mean, how dangerous is that, though? To ask the question is to answer it. But that's one example of what they are claiming is racism in today's society. You're a racist if you want non-whites to be able to actually pass the police entrance exam. But I got another one for you. Here's another example of what passes as racism now, Winston, in our modern world. Banning prison inmates from voting is racist. You know, when you go to jail, when you commit a crime, you lose the right to vote. When you commit...
Well, if you commit a felony.
A felony, of course, a felony. I was just about to clarify. But because blacks and Mexicans are, quote-unquote, disproportionately incarcerated, therefore racism has to be... Never mind the fact that they disproportionately commit the violent felonies. That's why that they're incarcerated at a disproportionate rate. But because they are disproportionately incarcerated, it must be racist to ban them from voting. By this logic, how long before prisons and laws are thrown out completely and entirely for being racist? But here's the scoop. Incarcerated felons should be allowed to vote in Washington to ensure that racial minorities are protected under the Voting Rights Act. This isn't an opinion, Winston. A federal appeals court ruled this. A 2-1 ruling by the 9th District U.S. Court of Appeals overturned all previous rulings. The judge had ruled that the state law did not violate the act and dismissed a lawsuit by a former inmate in Bellevue. They said that the state justice system cannot be explained in race-neutral ways. What goes on to say here? Anyway, do you think, in your expert opinion, Winston, is banning prison inmates from voting, is that an incarnation of racism in your opinion?
No, because white felons can't vote. But James, I would bet your life on it that if you look at who's behind this, you're going to find Democrats and other Marxists, because those people, you know, blacks and mestizos, Africans in America and mestizos, they vote as blocks, Democratic. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of that great thing that the Smoking Gun did, where it showed the mug shots of these people who'd been arrested, and they were all wearing Obama T-shirts.
I've seen those pictures, and I'm sure this guy is too. I'm reading now that the lawsuit that was presented to allow felons the right to vote in the state of Washington was filed by Muhammad Shabazz Farrakhan of Bellevue, Washington. He was serving a 3-year sentence in the Washington State Penitentiary in Walla Walla for a series of felony theft convictions when he sued the state in 1996. Ultimately, 5 other inmates, all members of racial minority groups, joined as plaintiffs. The lawsuit contended that because non-whites make up a large percentage of the prison population, a state law prohibiting inmates and parolees from voting is illegal because it dilutes the electoral clout of minorities. That's the rest of the story. You just can't beat that, Winston. You can't beat the logic there.
Oh, it's ironclad, Jimmy. Well, James, this just goes to prove that there are two worlds living on this earth. what other rights can we give violent felons? I wonder if this will expand to white felons as well, since their main ammunition is that it targets Africans in America and mestizos.
It did not say anything about allowing white felons to vote.
No, of course not.
Maybe they'll have to file their own lawsuit.
It's just good practice. You don't give the right to vote to people who abused their rights in the first place.
Well, once again, we're finding out all too painfully what the so-called civil rights movement was all about. And here's another example of the so-called civil rights movement in action. Now, felons apparently have the right to vote. Black felons only, the right to vote in the state of Washington. So we're about to go to a break, Winston. We got a lot more to come during tonight's third hour. Reverend Ted Pike will be on the program for the bulk of the hour. But when we come back, we're going to talk about a story that Winston and I both found out about this week. Apparently, there was an American manufacturer who was doing something that I am glad of. He was putting New Testament scripture verses on the sights of rifles that were being used by the American military. Well, some Jewish folks didn't like that too much. And we're going to tell you what they had to say about it during tonight's third hour. Before we get Reverend Pike on in the break, go to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Support the show if you like the show. We'll be back with more right after this.
Installment of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
They call the rising sun.